Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. And obviously, in the context, the fruit has to do with words. Verse 34, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, which implies that the only possible way that a man could speak good things would be by conversion. In other words, the natural man could not speak good things, no matter if people said they were good things. In other words, the evil heart would do the talking. Out of his mouth a heart would speak, and therefore he'd speak evil things, for the heart is evil. So the only way to speak good things would be by conversion. Verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now the passage will just stand. Dispensational lies anywhere. It doesn't make any difference what the dispensation is. Verse 36 and verse 37 will stand. In other words, men are going to be judged on the basis of words. And if you can connect this with the judgment seat of Christ, look at the works of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, then I know that my works at the judgment seat of Christ are going to be the things I preach, the things that I taught, and whatever. In other words, I'm going to be tried for my service for the Lord, and those things that I taught, claiming to be in service for the Lord, which are of the flesh, an exaltation of religion, exaltation of myself, trying to get fame, trying to make money, and whatever, are going to burn in the judgment there. I'm going to have to give an account for those things that I say. Therefore, we should be concerned about the tongue. Now, for 2 weeks I've been talking to you about the tongue, the evil of the tongue, the things the Bible says about it, and whatever. Now, I want to retrace a couple of things. We discussed the fact that there is power in words. In fact, the old saying is that the pen is mightier than the sword. And the tongue is referred to as a sword and a spear in the Word of God. And with the tongue, men destroy other men and whatever. So there's power in words. Man has been told to take authority over all things. He's to do this with words. He should use the tongue in bringing certain things into subjection. For instance, the man would have brought the woman into subjection, and through that medium brought the children into subjection, and then they would have brought other things into subjection. And James said that everything, beast, birds, whatever, has been tamed, except the tongue. And the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil. Words are used in such deceitful and deceptive manners today. In fact, we use words almost unconsciously. We say things, drop a word here and a word there and a thought there and whatever, and later on they come back to us. We think, I wish I hadn't have said that. Now, authority over all things lies in the use of the tongue. That is clear in Romans 16, verse 20, having to do with them trampling Satan underfoot. That is true in Revelation chapter 19, verse 15. The Bible says that at the Battle of Armageddon, that in effect it says that he will fight against them with a sword that proceedeth out of his mouth. And I find that the sword that proceeds out of his mouth is the Word of God. authority over all things is to begin in the home. That is, if the home is not brought into subjection, then that person cannot bring other things into subjection. By words, a man looses the power of God. We saw in Matthew 16, verse 17, John 20, verse 23, and on that this is true. Jesus Christ's power came about through the use of words. As Jesus Christ, by use of words, he looses the power of Satan, but then by the use of words, overcomes Satan just as well. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, it is the use of words that brings about apostasy, Satan being the authority over apostasy. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 16 through 19, Titus 1, 10, James 3, 14 through 16, and on, man brings about Satan's power on this earth by using words that honor Satan himself in the ears of the hearers and whatever. Therefore, if a man used his tongue properly, he would loose the power of God upon earth, he would defeat the power of Satan, and that is the method by which it's going to be done, by word of mouth. Now, there's life in words. Turn, please, to John chapter 6. John 6. All right, in John 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. Look in verse 68. Then Simon answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. There is life to be given by the use of words. Turn, please, to Romans chapter 10. Romans 10. I know that you are familiar with the passage, but we want to read it together. Romans 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And I don't want to get involved in a controversial subject here, but there certainly is an implication in verse 10 that the man could be righteous and yet not be saved from certain things that are going to come. That salvation would come about through confession. In fact, there is no doubt about that after the church age. As for it being during the dispensation of grace, I'm not settled in my mind about that thing, but I do know that Jesus said, he that confesseth me before my Father, I'll confess before the angels of God. But he that, before men rather, but he that denies me before men, I will deny before the angels of God. Therefore, there is an implication that a man over there could be made righteous by believing on Christ, but refuse to confess Christ with his mouth, take the mark of the beast, or do certain things, I don't know, whatever, and I could get so involved here I couldn't get out. But nevertheless, that man would not be saved. There also is an implication in the passage, when comparing with other passages, that if you and I believe in our hearts on the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that he died for us, died for our sins, that he was buried and rose again, and whatever, and refuse to confess him with our mouth, then there would be a possibility. You understand that I said a possibility. It appears there might be such a thing as a split rapture. Those that did confess, those that did speak the things of God, those that did exalt the words of life by rightly dividing the word of truth and whatever, would go out, be caught away, but then the others who did not do so, as the implication in Romans chapter 2 and Galatians 3 and Galatians 5, would follow after in the middle of the tribulation. Now, I'm not preaching that as doctrine. If you are concerned about it, then study the Bible for yourself. But I do know the passage says, in effect, that righteousness comes by believing with your heart, but salvation comes by confessing Jesus with your mouth. Whatever, the answer still lies in the fact there is life in words. Turn, please, to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians 2, let's go to verse 14. Philippians 2:14, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice, so forth and so on. Well, Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you are spirit. And Peter said, thou hast the words of life, holding forth the word of life. Then I've got it in the word of God. These are the words of God, spoken through the pen of individuals. And in these words, there is life. And boy, that really ought to tell us something about preaching. I mean, if you want somebody to have life, preach the word to them. Don't preach religious tales and things pertaining to religion and the system and this and that and the other. Preach the words of life, which is the word of God. Then there's death in words. Go to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs 18. Death in words. Proverbs 18, verse 8. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly, so forth and so on. They bring a form of death to the individual. But then there is a different kind of death brought to the individual by words, and that is the words of doctrine spoken in deception, whereby those that do not confess Christ as their Savior, they are deceived, and being deceived by the god of this world, they end up in death, destruction, and whatever. There's words in death. That's why that those who attend various churches without checking on them are foolish. No mother that had any concern at all would set poison in front of her family to eat at mealtime. Yet people, in other words, she wouldn't put meals on the table if she knew those meals were going to bring death to her children. Yet the mother and the father will take their children into a religious system where words are put forth there that are designed by the devil to deceive those people. And they will trust the god of this world, they will trust in the religious system, and end up in death. Words bring death. Then there is words which defile the body. In other words, words defile the body. Turn to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15. Go to verse 10. Matthew 15, verse 10. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. And you'll find that he's talking about words. Look in verse 13. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, they shall fall into the ditch. And of course, they are led by words, and the words defile the body. And the most defiled human beings upon the first face of the earth today is not people who got drunk or people who did this or that or the other, as people compare them today. They are people who are defiled by words come out of some prophet's mouth, and then they defile themselves and others that hear them by repeating those words that they were taught to speak, and thus the whole religious system is defiled, and it is a stench in the nostrils of Almighty God. Words defile the body. By the way, thinking along that line, there are a lot of people think I'm absolutely nuts. I guess I am. But you know something? I'd far rather, if I had to make a choice, I would rather that my children smoked cigarettes, danced and played cards, and drank booze. I'd rather they took their chances with God in that respect pertaining to being defiled than for those children to be so saturated and so involved with a deceitful religious system that they themselves constantly spoke that religious system to other people and led other people into that religious system that's going right down the drain during the tribulation and at the second coming of Christ. I don't know how that I can cause people to see what I'm saying and take it seriously. Listen, when a person goes out there and starts speaking good things about the religions, oh, there's good in all of them. And I know some good people in all these. My relatives are in these, and I love these people, and on, and they say goody, goody things about all these, and in such a manner they deceive innocent people who don't know any better, simple people. Those people get involved in there. Think about the thing in the end, the whole end of it all. Why, there aren't as many people going to follow an alcoholic as they will a false prophet. But you can't show anybody that. They say, look at the damage that alcoholic's doing in the community. Baloney. Look at the damage a Southern Baptist preacher is doing in the community, and everybody's exalting him. And they trample the alcoholic down. And I'm not trying to brag on the alcoholic. That's not my point here. My point is that people have no value today. They have no sense of valuating things. For the only way to do it is with the Word of God. I know that it's words that defile the word, the body, and I know that a man will give an account for his words. Be careful how you go around telling everybody the good things in the denominational system. The denominational system is not good. And if somebody show me by the Word of God where it's good, then I'll shut up. I won't say that anymore. It is not good. It is of the devil. It is of the flesh. It is of the world. It is not good, and the Lord will destroy it. You know, the fascinating thing about it is there isn't a Baptist or a Methodist or a Presbyterian anywhere today with any sense at all that will tell you he expects to be a Baptist, Methodist, and Presbyterian in heaven. Well, if he isn't going to be one there, why does he want to be one here? That was crazy. Words defile. Watch out for the words. Then man is to be judged by his words. Matthew 12, we were reading a while ago, verse 31 through 37. But you know something? Hey, fellow ought to be careful. He might blaspheme. Oh, yes. Say, you believe a saved person could blaspheme? I sure do. Because blasphemy is words, and a person who spoke things against the Word of God is blasphemy. Speak against the Son of Man, speak against the Spirit, well, bless your soul. Any man that speaks against the inspiration of the Scripture is blaspheming, for the Scripture is inspired by the Spirit. That's blasphemy. And there are men and women up and down this country today that don't hesitate to speak against the Word of God. Well, I was thinking about the other day that the meeting that they're getting ready to have up in Indiana, the last of June, and I went through the list of all those people in there, and there isn't a man on the list that doesn't speak against the Word of God. And one man boasted to me, bragged to me, about how that he takes pride in convincing people the King James Bible is not the Word of God. Well, that's blasphemy. Speak against the Spirit. Well, the Spirit led the thing. And folks, if the Spirit of God didn't lead the men to translate the Scripture, my goodness, where are we? We have no Word of God. And of course, the idea being everybody presents himself as a God by making his own book. Man will be judged by his words. The answer to prayer is based on the proper use of words. Now turn to 1 John, and when I say proper use of words now, I am aware that Paul shows us things to pray for, how to pray, and this kind of thing. But notice in John chapter 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Well, then how can I know whether God will answer my prayer or not? I can know on the basis of a prayer that is inspired by the Bible. In other words, a Bible-centered prayer, God Almighty will answer. Therefore, I can pray and know that God will answer my prayer. And folks, you have to be careful when you think about that. You see, you can't just read one book in the Bible and get the answer to the whole thing. I mean, read from Genesis through Revelation about 25 or 30 times and begin to compare the practical things back there that God Almighty deals with men in. And God's a practical God. And you see, there are some things in this Bible that God Almighty will answer a man's prayers pertaining to those things that the religious system don't believe. They don't believe God would ever do that because they pick out one verse in the Scripture somewhere and they base the whole thing on that one verse without comparing that verses with others. There are numerous things that you and I could pray for scripturally if we knew the Scripture and how to do it. And know that God will answer it. And it may take a while, but God will answer a scriptural prayer. I don't mean that you're going to ask God Almighty for $1 million and tomorrow you're going to bring it around. That's not my point in this thing. I'm talking about prayers prayed by the Spirit of God, by a saved, Bible-believing, dedicated individual that is concerned about the Lord and concerned about the things of the Lord and ask those things biblically by the Spirit. God Almighty will answer. Then there is power over Satan is by the word of mouth. Turn please to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Alright, in Luke chapter 4, notice verse 5. And the devil taking him up into a high mountain showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve, and so forth and so on. And you'll find that Satan left him and went away and didn't bother him for a season. Power over Satan is by the use of words. Look in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. All right, verse 26. They arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, wearing no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice, said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For it commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, he was kept bound with chains and fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into it. They besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked, and on. There's power over the devil by the use of words. Go to Acts 16. Acts 16. The point is to know by the word of God when and how you can do this. See, there are a lot of people take the power unto themselves when it isn't available to them dispensationally, don't you see? And end up a failure, and other people see that and they say nonsense, you know. But the point is knowing how to use the words, when to use them, under what circumstances, and so forth. Acts chapter 16, verse 16. Came to pass as he went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought our masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. You know something? I have sat down with preachers that used practically the same words in a sarcastic manner. Like saying, I've been to the seminary and you're going to tell me the way of salvation. I know Greek and Hebrew and you're going to tell me, with a sarcastic attitude. And I think about Acts 16. And I think, is it possible that I'm dealing with a demon here? You see, Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, evil spirits and whatever. And so I think, hey, I bet I'm dealing with a demon here. I wouldn't be a bit surprised. But what, one night, right across over there, met with a preacher over there, and that fella, I wouldn't be a bit surprised. That fella had a demon, an evil spirit. Led him, and that fella, he got mad. That fella really got mad. He started to leave, and then he changed his mind and came back, and finally did leave, angry and whatever, with an attitude just like this woman had right here. Verse 18, and this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out the same hour. Now, you know something? I have the spoken word of God today by the use of the word of God and the acceptance of that word by the individual. They are released from the power of the evil spirit. Not by saying, I command you in the name of Jesus, come out, or laying your hands on them, or whatever. It's by preaching the word. Preach the word, the instant in season. And by the preached word of God, you deal with the evil spirit in that individual, and by their acceptance of the Word of God, that evil spirit leaves there. The Word of God will always do that. There's power over Satan by the word of mouth. Now, I want you to notice the blindness of this world is by words. And, you know, when I did this, would you believe that I ran into this thing and I ended up with 13 points. And the 13th point was blindness of the world by the use of words. And I said, now isn't that a coincidence? And so today, as I'm telling you these things, I'm going to check the 13th point I have here and then go back to the 12th. Because it worked out when as I think of things, I have a little cassette recorder, pocket type recorder, and as I have thoughts riding in the car or whatever, I'll put them on that recorder and I just put them in order and I let them fall as the Lord gave them to me, or as they came into my mind, I check them out by the scripture, get the scripture references and whatever, and then I put them down. And the 13th one came up. Blindness of the world is by the use of words. Turn, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4. And I'm going to read from verse 1. It's important to see Paul's attitude here. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now here's the verse. In whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now, turn please to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians 11, and the use, or the method of blinding them is right here. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13, and such, a reference to some people that deceive and whatever, are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. The blindness of the world is brought about by use of words. Go to Romans 16. You can't always tell what people are thinking, see? There are people that try to read your thoughts. And they say that he did so and so. I can tell by what he's thinking by what he did. No, you can't. But you can tell what people are thinking by what they say. Watch the words. Romans chapter 16, and notice verse 18. Verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, and avoid them. You can't have doctrine without words. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. No doubt about it. The God of this world has deceived this world. How did he deceive them? In the barroom? No. On the football field? No. At the racetrack? No. Well, how? Bless your soul, by preaching. That's how. By words, fair speeches, they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they turn away their ears from the truth and are turned unto fables, and people love it so. Words. Then notice 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now the speaking lies in hypocrisy of verse 2 is not telling lies about used cars and about this and that and the other. I mean, people always want to get in there and get some simple little thing that ain't nothing to. Say, well, that fellow's a liar. I tried to buy a used car from him, and he told me that it had so-and-so, therefore he speaks lies and hypocrisy. Well, in the context, the speaking of lies is in that which is brought about by seducing spirits, referring to the doctrines of devils. The lies spoken in hypocrisy are doctrines of the devil spoken by men that are seduced by spirits to speak those lies. Somebody might say, Brother Moore, are you trying to tell me that you think it's all right to lie about any and everything? No, I'm not trying to tell anybody any such nonsense as that. I'm trying to tell you that in the context, the most dangerous thing that is done today is not somebody lying about a home or lying about this and that and the other. The danger and the defiling thing and the devilish and deceiving thing that the devil takes advantage of is by preachers that preach doctrines that come from the devil, because they're led by the spirit of the devil, and they speak those lies in hypocrisy while they themselves boast in their education, they boast in their religious system, they boast in their authority and whatever, and that's speaking lies in hypocrisy. They're hypocrites. Now, the proper method. Turn, please, to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, the proper use of the tongue. Titus 2, verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Look in verse 7. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. How? in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of it. You know, I am overwhelmed at the attitude of people about this. I am overwhelmed how that people will exalt a man that speaks lies and hypocrisy, and they will put down any kind of work, though, that dude that speaks lies and hypocrisy doesn't hold up. As in the natural sense, as in the natural activity of people in the world. In other words, that fellow that speaks those lies and hypocrisy will teach a doctrine that would imply that men live perfect lives upon this earth while they, he doesn't tell you this, while they themselves defile themselves with their words in exalting their system. And it just absolutely fascinates me. And it fascinates me that the people that will get angry when you point this out and say, well, I know what he's doing. He's saying it's all right to live in sin. Well, how sinful can you get? There isn't a sin that will compare with the putting down of the Word of God. Jesus said, whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man shall be forgiven. But he that speaketh against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven. People can't get a grip on that thing. The unforgiving sin, if there is an unforgiving sin, is blasphemy against the Spirit of God. It's putting down the things of the Spirit of God. It is not committing adultery. It is not drunkenness. It is not dancing. And on, it is speaking with the mouth. But then people don't believe that for a minute. You know why? Hey, James tells us why. You can control anything but the tongue. It runs wild. That's right. You can control this and that and the other, but you start working on that tongue, that'll drive you batty. That's right. It said no man can do it. You know, that sword, sharp. Turn, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The proper method. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Well, what are the childish things? They're words. People say, well, he's acting so childish. Well, it ain't got nothing to do with his actions. It has to do with his words. When you become a man, you can... Why, anybody can tell whether a man's a man by the words he speaks. That's right. And some of them are so... In other words, today, you'd think that there would be some kind of misinterpretation of that passage. In other words, when I was a child, I spake as a child, but when I became a man, I spoke as a woman. I mean, you know, you hear them today. Well, that feminine voice. You can identify them a mile away. When I became a man, I spake as a man. And I put away childish things. Words, folks, the proper method. Turn, please, to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians 4, verse 3. Withal praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I also am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. And on, there are just numerous ones, but now I want to close the thing out with this thought now. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Now, the proper method. How can I handle it? What can I do about my tongue? Well, here's the way right here. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And no doubt about the wiles of the devil, they're words that are spoken. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, there isn't any doubt in my mind, folks, that every piece of that armor is words. If I start with a helmet, although he doesn't do so there, and he does it on purpose, but because of the anatomy and whatever, I'm going to start with a head. In other words, the helmet of salvation is salvation, and salvation is by words. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart, for with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In other words, you know the salvation of an individual by not watching them, but by hearing them. It is with the words of thy mouth that thou confess, not by the way you walk. People say, well, I'd rather see a good message than to hear one. Well, I've never known of anybody under any circumstance that got saved by watching somebody. And it got saved by hearing words. The helmet of salvation is the words that are spoken, and it has to do with the gospel. And so, in other words, if you want to wear the helmet, speak words. How can they never give up your confession? Be ready at any moment to confess Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess Him. Confess His death and whatever. Then the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness has to do with words. It has to do with exalting Christ and putting down myself. In other words, if I wear my own breastplate, then I will wear a breastplate of righteousness that's as filthy rags in God's sight. In other words, if I say, I'm glad I'm not as they are, and I'm better than they are, and I wouldn't be like that, and I'm glad that I'm not as other men are, and I thank God that I'm righteous, and I thank God that I'm, and on and on and on, as the publican did. He just put down everybody, including the Pharisee, and he put down the publican. But what is the proper way? Jesus Christ is my righteousness. Exaltation of Jesus Christ, exaltation of the Word of God, by word of mouth is the righteousness. For instance, if you get in conflict with an individual, if you come to battle with an individual, the spirit of that individual is going to battle with your spirit with words. And if that person can get at you and cause you to exalt your righteousness, there is those filthy rags, and he gets through, and you're gone. But if you constantly, with your mouth, exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, exalt his goodness, exalt his work, and whatever, there's the breastplate. He can't get to your heart. Your heart is behind the breastplate, and it's the heart that he's after. It's the center of your emotions. It's the center of your being. And then the girdle is a girdle of truth. Speak the truth. How can I speak the truth? In dealing with individuals under any circumstances, I deal with them from the Word of God. Memorize the Word of God. Preach the Word. Speak the Word. And I will have strength. There is strength only in the Word of God. No way can you deal with anybody out there with any power and any authority and any strength in your own words. It's the Word of God. The truth. Gird about with the truth. The shoes are the preparation of the gospel of peace. In other words, learn what the gospel is. Be prepared to use the gospel at any time. And the gospel is words. Then the shield of faith. My shield is my words. It is the words of the Lord put forward out there in fighting off the fiery darts of the wicked and then taking the sword of the Spirit. There is nothing as effective under any circumstances as the Word of God spoken with authority in the right attitude under any circumstance. Put on the armor of God and you'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. take authority. You don't have to take a back seat to anybody. You should be an authoritative person in dealing with people, for you must use the Word of God and use it authoritatively. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. That'll get the job done. Let's stand for prayer.